Hey guys, what's up? Clippers Nation, Clips fans, Clips ships.
We're here.
It's your dudes, me, William, the Opinion Update.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. In case you didn't know, we're coming at you 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Clippers content.
Mm-hmm.
What more could you want? We're your local experts.
Wins, I guess, at this point.
Some wins would be nice. Some wins would be nice. But hey, despite the L's, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about some Clippers culture talk, kind of where the team is going. I think Charles said that this episode's going to have a little bit of a front porch
just
vibe.
Hanging out. Yeah.
Hanging out, shooting the shit.
Games tomorrow,
if you will.
You know.
And then we're going to get into our Wednesday segment, which is Parallel Universe, or what could have been if things had turned out a little bit differently.
Mm.
We're going to be exploring what we think would be going on if Doc was still GM. He's only been out of the front office for a little over a year now.
Yeah.
I think August of 2017 was his last time in the GM position. And then we're going to wrap up with some general NBA stuff. So stay tuned for all of that and possibly more, guys, coming up right about now.
Before we get into this Clipper talk, culture talk, excuse me, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Metro Infinity. They are just off the 210 in Monrovia at 821 East Central Avenue. They're also the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for 25 years. One of the coolest things I think about Metro Infinity is if you don't want to go buy your car, because going to dealerships can suck for sure, they will bring everything to you. You can be at your office eating lunch and just say, oh, so sorry, I have to go buy this car in the parking lot in front of all my coworkers. You can do that. No problem. If you mention Locked On, they will give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infinity or just in the market for a new car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510. Or MetroInfinity.com.
Metro Infinity.
Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with Navi, $1,000 down, $325 a month plus tax. That's it. Just $1,000 down, low monthly payment. Plus, don't forget to mention Locked On. Get $500 off.
Man, we cannot shake that Metro Infiniti ghost.
We can't, man.
It's haunted by good deals.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So yeah, let's get into some Clippers culture talk. Bit of a rough stretch right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, game-wise, I feel like aside from like the first couple of games on this losing streak, like the team...
We're at four right now if you're new to the show.
The team looks a little bit better. I was most worried, honestly, about, yeah, the morale of everybody after those couple of losses. You know, they went on a pretty grueling road stretch,
played
the third fewest home games of any NBA team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on the road for, I believe, the second longest amount of time. They weren't getting the rest that they were accustomed to early in the season.
We got that illness that all the NBA players were getting.
Got the illness bug. Got a little bit of an injury bug. But I think that the team is still looking good. You know, we've talked a little bit about these encouraging losses the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And, you know, while you still hate to see that L, I like that the team doesn't seem frustrated with one another.
Yeah, like when we got, there were a couple games where I think, you know, a couple of the players were quoted, like Doc said it. Trez said it, you know, we just got our butts kicked. It's really nice to see them bounce back and still produce, at least, like you said, encouraging performances. Like the last game was a great performance.
It was.
We played well.
I mean, there was a lot that we really couldn't have asked of better for, except for, you know, a couple key players.
Points from two of our starting players.
Yeah.
So we play the Mavs tomorrow. We're not going to do a full game preview today. Do you think we get back on track tomorrow, or do you think we stretch this losing streak to five?
Man, I really hope that we can pull out this dub against the Mavs.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're on a parallax almost of like
for sure
trajectories right now. But I think that I think that it should be positive. They also got a couple nights rest, which hasn't been the case in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the longest we've ever gone without doing a game preview.
I know, it's like boring. I was like, what are we going to talk about today?
But yeah, it would be great to pull out the win tomorrow. I'm pretty confident that we're going to do it. I think that Doc will be able to adjust a little bit better. The rebounding is still going to be an issue, but
you're going to the game tomorrow, right?
I am going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, they beat us last time because of DeAndre Jordan free throws, which is frustrating as hell, but poetic. Per Jovan Buha, in regards to tomorrow's game, Doc Rivers on potential starting lineup change as of today. No, I like where we're at.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
And then he amended this quote, I believe, to no, I like where we are.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad he amended it to less to grammatically correct, but still wildly disappointing. The vitriol for Avery Bradley is reaching a pretty new high, I would say.
Yeah.
Clippers Twitter does not like him.
It's really hard. It's really hard anytime a player goes through a tough stretch. You know, they got to put up with a lot.
He's just going through such a rough stretch offensive. Like, it's just so damn hard to watch.
Yeah. And at this point, it's hard to even say if it's just a stretch or more of a trend.
Thing. Just that's a thing now, is he's just terrible at offense.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think it might be a little premature to pull him out, just because...
When you say pull him out, do you mean switch him and Patrick Beverley? Because that seems like the most logical, like, quick switch.
I guess I was referring to maybe tossing a new guy into the starting lineup.
Oh, who would that be?
I mean, I think the most obvious answer is Tyrone Wallace.
That'd be so great.
Ty Wall has been really solid. He's really active.
We also evidently wanted him in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like,
but at the same time, like, I guess that's what I was getting at. That's like the fan move. I feel like that's the move we would all like to see.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to not do that this early in the season.
That's fair.
You know, we still have a solid record. It's still pretty early on.
We're still in that mix. We're still in the playoff mix.
You know,
we're not firmly out of it by any means.
Yeah. We're definitely still in the mix. And, you know, he's still unproven. He's had some good games.
Ty Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
He's had some less than good games. And I don't think that he's ready for those starter kind of minutes yet. I do think that it makes a lot of sense to just switch out Bradley and Beverly.
Yeah, that's the easiest quick, while they're maybe still figuring some stuff out, including our apparent defensive scheme. That seems like the easiest thing that wouldn't put too many ripples in the game play, other than positive ones.
Yeah. And that lineup has been really effective.
For sure.
The backcourt works surprisingly well with Beverly and Shea in the backcourt, even though Beverly's not really a shooter.
It's almost like Beverly and Bradley have kind of like switched narratives, because I feel like people thought maybe Bradley was a little better offensively than Beverly was at the beginning of the season.
Definitely.
And it feels like that is completely switched. Patrick Beverly is really, I mean, he had 11 assists last game, which was crazy. It's awesome, but like, you're obviously not going to get that every time. But it seems like he's maybe figuring out more of a facilitator role as being on the second unit.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously Doc knows better than any of us, like, what these guys are going to look like together, you know, what rotations he really likes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, he does play Bradley for so many minutes.
He's averaging 29 minutes a game.
Yeah.
It like hurts your head.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's definitely a head scratcher. I just feel like you could still play him high minutes, but have him on that second unit. I mean, like,
play him 20 or 18.
Yeah. I mean, Lou averaged pretty, didn't he average more than 26 minutes off the bench last year?
Something like that.
He had a really high usage. So I think that if he is part of Doc's like key rotations or whatever, he can still play a comparable amount of minutes.
Yeah.
I just think you got to give each squad its best shot to be the best it can. And right now, it doesn't feel like that includes Bradley in that starting lineup.
For sure. Kind of shifting. So after this year, we're probably going to be offering Tobias a very large contract. How have you felt this year so far? I've kind of been thinking about this. Are you comfortable giving him a max contract? He's currently averaging 21-8-2.
This is a really hard question. I love Tobias. I think that he is a really good player. I think that the max gets kind of confusing. Not confusing, but it's a pickle.
I think I know what you mean, because for me, he is just below max money value-wise, I think.
Absolutely.
But but someone else will offer him the max.
That's the thing. And I think that is definitely going to come to fruition. We're going to have to end up giving him, you know, we're going to have to end up,
quote-unquote, too much, do you think?
Only time can tell that.
Yeah.
You know, he's still so young, which is really great. But I do think that what's going to end up happening in the offseason is he's going to field some offers, and we're going to have to match the biggest one.
Some dumbass offer.
And I it's not that I don't think that he's worth it. He is really solid. There's just some things that I still don't think are there yet to me for it to be a max guy.
Killer instinct being one of them.
Yeah, the killer instinct or clutch instinct. We see so many times where he can be neutralized even by not great defensive teams. Yeah. I mean, he was effectively neutralized in the fourth quarter against the Wizards, and I believe at the time they were the 30th ranked defense.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff like that. There's some issues where I would like to see him get to the line more.
For sure. He needs to learn from Gallo. Gallo was playing terrible in the last game in the fourth quarter. Just was like, all right, I'm going to live at the line.
Yeah.
This is fine. And eat it, Blazers.
Defensively, obviously, leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
He has the physical tools. I don't know if the mindset maybe isn't there. I mean, I have never seen an issue in his effort, so I don't think that that's the issue. Which is
nice.
Yeah, and that's generally what I attribute kind of defensive things to. I feel like if you're giving crazy effort, even if you're not like maybe the most instinctual defender, you can be serviceable.
Like Gallo. Gallo's made a really nice switch this year into actually kind of trying a little harder, at least looking like he's trying a little harder on defense.
I agree. But yeah, the foul shooting to me is a question mark. Also, I feel like from a playmaking standpoint, and this could solely be because there's not enough pieces around him for him to like really do a lot in terms of like assists and like not having to be burdened with the scoring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like if he's not scoring,
he's not doing a whole lot else.
There's minimal value added.
Yeah, he's getting boards.
Yeah.
But if we had like a normal center situation, that his numbers probably wouldn't be as high on the board,
definitely.
Which is fine, but definitely. Like it'd be nice to see those assist numbers go up a little bit. Yeah, two assists is kind of rough.
Yeah.
Not saying he should be averaging like 9, but maybe closer to 5 or 6.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is going to be a huge question. I guess the bigger question to me is, so well, we're in the summer. All right. It's free agency.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We're wearing shorts.
okay.
I guess my question is what move do you make first? So your move's on the table. You're trying to sign, let's call it optimally two guys.
Yeah.
But at least one.
For sure.
And you got to re-sign the rest of this roster because we have a lot of one and done.
So just to get into that real quick, if we re-sign Tobias after this year, we'll still need to sign 6 more guys.
Yeah.
Including one of those max spots.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
So, I mean, like, luckily, a lot of that is tied up in rookie money, which is, you know,
awesome.
Significantly great. We do have a couple of great contracts. But my question is, what move do you make first? Do you wait to give Tobias an offer until you know what your star situation is? If you are already able to land 2 superstars, are you letting Tobias walk?
I would say no. I think we signed Tobias outright to show whoever is coming that
the pieces are still going to be there.
The pieces are still going to be there. And if we like you, we like you. It's not some weird, you know, we're going to use Tobias and then maybe not even offer or match an offer. It's like a nice, people like to be wanted.
Yeah.
And I think I think the first thing we should do is sign Tobias.
I'm in agreement. It seems like from an outside perspective that Kawhi is such a big priority that I wonder if they would drag their feet on that, waiting to know what their payroll is going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're paying Kawhi the max, it gets a little bit trickier.
The rest of our roster is harder to fill out.
Yeah, it gets a little bit trickier when Gallo was already promised in the neighborhood of 25 mil.
Yeah.
For, I believe he has one season after next season.
Yep.
And yeah, and then another max player. I don't know.
And then we still need to see 5 more guys.
Yeah. I mean, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
That's 15.
Damn.
Hopefully. And the other thing, too, is like maybe we'll actually give Jonathan Motley a real contract or something like that. But there is still that there's a pretty steep, not drop-off's not the right word. There's just a lot to figure out after we get Tobias and maybe the max guy sorted.
And I feel like it's always a double-edged sword when you get into a position like this. It is great to have a whole bunch of cap flexibility.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. It's like one of the most attractive things in the NBA that you can have right now.
Yeah.
The issue becomes when you don't have a whole lot of players on like long-term contracts, it gets a little bit harder to keep solid level talent.
Yeah, and form an identity.
Definitely.
It's harder. You don't want to switch out all those guys so much, which I know the point of this year was to kind of clear up cap space, show a, you know, prospective top free agent, we can do what we can do, which is great. But yeah, they got the cap, the books are going to be a little goofy next year. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just going to be, I mean, the accountant's got a lot to work out.
Definitely.
For sure. That about wraps up our Clippers culture talk. Thanks for sitting on the front porch with us for this one, guys. If you're following multiple Locked On podcast networks and you'd like them all aggregated in one spot, because who wants to follow multiple accounts? Check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You'll get all of your info aggregated, which is awesome. On Instagram, you get the bigger stories in case, you know, 1 minute is a little too long. Great during breaking news. Great for local info. We're on there.
We are.
Check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So, welcome to the Arrowlel universe. We do this every Wednesday. This is What Could Have Been Wednesday. I really like this one today. We'll throw this one down. We're just over a year from Doc relinquishing GM duties, August 2017. How does this team look with him still at the GM helm?
So, I think the biggest thing to consider is... I mean, before we pack anything else, the first pressing issue would be the Chris Paul trade.
Yeah.
And I believe he was still in the front office for that. He just wasn't actually acting.
Yeah. He was chilling.
And I think if he has more of a say in that front office during that trade, I don't think that we end up getting the pieces that we get.
For sure. I don't think we don't get Trez.
Yeah.
Like, we probably still get Sam Decker.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
I don't know that we still get Sam Decker. I actually think that if Doc, I think that it would be a kind of a star for star or star for lesser star and a player situation.
Hmm. You think not Capella? You don't think Capella's thrown in there?
Maybe. I don't think so. I just feel like Capella had a way bigger breakout season last year.
I think we would have had to give up a lot more. It'd be like Chris Paul and like someone else pretty good for maybe just Capella.
I don't know about that.
I'm not saying I'm pro it.
No, that's insane.
It could have happened. Doc's a bad GM.
I think that something could have gone down. I think that something could have gone down, like, I don't know, Chris Paul for Isaiah Thomas or...
That would have sucked.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, though, that it would have been, instead of getting a trade where we got a bunch of solid, but obviously lower tier guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree with that.
And that's nothing against those guys. I mean, they're huge,
but just compared to
linchpins
like,
of the organization, yeah. But it's still different than an all-star.
Then, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I think that the trade would be more traditional. I would guess that it would still be guard for guard for a marquee, maybe lesser guard.
I can see that. I think we would have been in worse shape.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Maybe contract-wise, we would have been a little better off than Houston having to give Chris Paul that insane contract,
yeah,
for an old man. Yeah, I definitely don't think we're in as good a spot as we're in right now.
100%. I don't think
we end up with Shea.
I mean, well, that we can talk about the Blake Griffin thing.
Yeah,
because I feel like that's true. The other. I mean, those are the two biggest things that change the face of this franchise
for sure.
That play out completely differently. One more thing, I guess, on the Paul thing. I just wonder. I just wonder fit-wise how it works out if you do end up getting an all-star for all-star thing. What I mean by that is that Chris Paul was obviously the most vocal voice in the locker room.
On any team he's ever been on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, I mean, him leaving was a necessity to have any chance to change this
team. To break out of Lock City's shadow.
And that's nothing against him. But I wonder what the conversation would be, or the identity rather would be, had we gotten any
other quote unquote superstar.
Yeah. Like a Kyrie or Isaiah Thomas or,
yeah,
I don't know. Those I see as like the most, we would probably have to give up more for Kyrie, but like those I see as like the most Doc like moves, I guess, in my mind.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the identity, man, I think it'd be a lot harder to form one because we got such big pieces in that Rockets trade of guys who have a very clear personality.
Yeah, definitely.
And have a very much like, oh, I know what you're all about.
To me, they're the epitome of role players. And I mean that in the best way.
The best possible
way.
Like,
they have a very solid role and they fill that spot. Yeah. And you know what you're going to get.
For sure. Yeah, and I think we got the superstar thing. I think that would have been a pretty big detriment to the team because we wouldn't have had a chance. We've talked about this a little bit before on this podcast about how Doc is getting the chance to really grow a team right now.
Definitely.
He's getting to nurture these guys and keep giving Avery Bradley 30 minutes a game for some reason. But he's getting to grow this team into what he really wants to see player-wise. And that doesn't happen if we get another superstar. Then I think it's more of like a weird, like they're both trying to do their own thing. Or you know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
like,
and it'd be hard because you have to analyze a fit next to Blake.
Yeah, we're catering to the new guy.
Because Blake and DeAndre are still here in this scenario.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately we would be better in the short term had we gone with like a star for star trade.
Yeah.
How much better? I can't really assess that. I think
not enough to put us over some weird hump to get the championship.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely not that good. Like not in that tier. We would have made the playoffs last year. We would be a lock for the playoffs this year. But I think that things get a little bit trickier. I mean, A, with the cap space and filling out the roster around
for sure.
that. And B, the future. We have so many. I mean, like we got two great rookies this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is, I mean, neither of these had to do with the Chris Paul trade, but I feel like the franchise is in a better place with a little bit of a younger look and some solid role players and guys that we're not hyper attached to long term.
Yes.
Because it just gives us a better option to kind of analyze that fit.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think there'd be a sharp drop off in fandom, much sharper after that, like the first initial good season with the new superstar.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be flashier. It would be similar. I just don't think that. Yeah, obviously the identity isn't really changing, and I don't think that you're assessing the core issues that kind of plagued the Clippers having runs.
Yeah, for the first time, we actually have a nice future, which is nice.
Yeah.
Or at least a promising future.
Did you want to dive into this other thing real fast?
We only got a few more minutes. We can save that for another time.
All right.
Leaving these guys on the edge of their seats out there. coming up, quick NBA wrap-up.
So, Cavs narrowly got around the Pacers.
Slipped by those Pacers.
92-91. Real nail-biter.
Pretty good game.
Yeah. Oladipo missed two free throws, which... Come on, man.
Can't miss those.
I think he's too busy making love, singing
dude,
R&B.
That album, it's like, he's so lucky he's not in a bigger market, dude. If he was in New York...
You think people would be roasting him?
People would be roasting him so much worse for that album, dude. If you haven't heard, Victor Oladipo came out with a very sexually explicit R&B album. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying, like, it's... Just
he's a
it.
Good singer. Some of the content is questionable.
He is a very good singer. I'm not taking away from any of his talents, but some of the content, it's like, come on, man.
Larry Nance won that game for the Cavs with a
beautiful
game-winning tip-in. No one on either team scored more than 17 points.
Yeah, not.
Which to me is a very Pacers stat line.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Rodney Hood led the Cavs with 17. Larry Nance had 15, 16, and 6,
yeah.
which is nuts. And DeMontis, my most improved player, Rec, or sixth man of the year. He really could qualify for either one.
Yeah.
Led the Pacers off the bench with 17 and 8. Miles Turner had 12 and 10. And Bogdanovich added another 14.
Yeah, Sabonis looks really good. That was a good pick on your part.
Yeah.
Also, I believe your pick for Sixth Man of the Year was Melo originally.
Oh, I did. Yeah, that was a blunder.
That, not a good. I also thought we were going to beat the Blazers by 20, and that didn't work out. The Brooklyn Nets asserted their dominance over the Los Angeles Lakers of Anaheim, 115-110.
Great game for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, and D'Angelo Russell. 22 points and 13 assists.
Nice.
Which is tight.
I think that was a career high in assists.
Yes, I think it was too. Jared Allen had a huge block on LeBron. Like just straight up they met at the rim. Jared Allen got the ball, man.
Yeah, that was wild.
There's a couple of clips where people are like, oh, this is because LeBron's so slow and old. And I'm like, also because Jared Allen is the man, dude. Like, I think he's blocked everyone.
I think you're discrediting Jared Allen if that's your takeaway.
Yeah. Also, I love the Net City Edition jerseys. With the
Coogee
sweater just lining.
Yes, 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 yes.
It looks really good. They also have it on their the stanchions of the baskets.
That's very cool. It reminds me of Do the Right Thing.
Oh, nice. Good call. For the Lakers, LeBron led all scorers with 36 and 13 points, or excuse me, 36 points, 13 boards, 8 assists. Lonzo had 23, Kuzma had 22 and 11. The Lakers bench combined for 18 points.
Solid stuff, guys.
Great stuff.
Nuggets put the Mavs down, 126 to 118.
Nuggets, are you believing in the Nuggets yet?
Remains to be seen.
They're just firmly in first place. Jokic led all scores with 32 and 16 rebounds. Huge night for rebounds last night.
Yeah.
Man.
What year is it?
Save some for us. Jamal Murray crushed with 22, 7, and 15. Their bench contributed 44 points. Harrison Barnes did his best to help the Mavs with 30 points. Luka Doncic had 23, 6, and 12.
Jeez.
Just give him the Rookie of the Year award already.
Yeah.
Like,
it's insane.
I keep seeing people kind of try and debate stuff, and I'm like, there's nothing to debate.
I mean, I think there's there's reasons to debate only because there are so many good rookies.
For sure.
It's just like one is clearly at this point still so head and shoulders above kind of everyone else.
Yeah, he's just, God, he's so, I want the Mavs to make the playoffs to see what playoff Doncic looks like.
Yeah.
Because I think he probably has a different gear. The stadiums you have to play in the EuroLeague are a lot more hostile.
Okay.
Than sporting events here in the United States.
Okay.
Dude. Like flares inside, like giant tifos.
Can you still smoke?
I think in some places you can. Yeah, there's stories from players who played in like Greece where like people just be smoking in indoor stadiums. That seems so awful. But no, I want to see playoff Doncic. That's going to be really exciting to see. The Nuggets still in first in the West, right?
I believe so.
It's proving you wrong every day.
I mean, still remains to be seen. I didn't say that the Nuggets are bad. I didn't say that they won't make the playoffs. I don't think they're the best team in the West.
All right, we'll see.
Not even I don't think. They're not the best team in the West.
Well, as of now.
All right.
They are. Other than, of course, our sister team, the Kings. tomorrow, I'm going to be solo, right?
Yeah, probably. I might call in. I don't know. We'll figure
still
it out.
I might call in. So you're going to be at the game?
Yeah.
Giving us some courtside reporting?
Probably not.
Try and rush the court and live stream it on Twitter when you do it. tomorrow, we're going to be previewing the game against the Mavs, giving a bit of thirsty thirds of what we want to see more of, and just some general NBA talk. Thanks for hanging out on the front porch with us, guys. I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.